Working our way through the characters of the Old Testament, but to study about Moses tonight, we're going to the New Testament book of the book of Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 11, often referred to as the Great Hall of Faith, and these mountain peaks of Bible characters, a lot of them are mentioned here, and more is mentioned about Moses in Hebrews 11 than any other character. And Moses is a great character that we can study and look at and be encouraged and helped by. Now, there's something fascinating and wonderful about Hebrews 11 to me. I am amazed by Abraham, and I am amazed, and I love the story of Sarah and Isaac and Jacob. I love the stories of Joseph. I love the stories of Moses' parents, and I love the stories of these men and women that were so mightily used of God in this passage of Scripture. But I'll tell you something that encourages me most, I think, about all these characters from Hebrews chapter number 11. It wasn't their abilities. It wasn't their strengths. It wasn't their weaknesses. It wasn't anything to do with their flesh and their person that made them able to do mighty things for God. You see, over and over in this passage of Scripture, the Bible says, by faith, Joseph. By faith, Abraham. By faith, tonight, Moses. Folks, I want you to know something. You and I are very limited. But when we put our faith and trust in God, He is able through us to do exceeding abundantly above all we could ever ask or think. If you start to get down in the dumps about what you can't do, quit looking at you and look at your God and remember what He's able to do. And when we meet up with Moses, what a beautiful character from God's Word. Moses is a blessed child. God has used him in a special way. We looked at Amram and Jochebed last Sunday night, the parents of Moses, and God used their faith in such a mighty way, and God used them to set the standard and begin the process of rearing of Moses. Moses goes back to Egypt as a child. He's raised with a silver spoon in his mouth with all the glories of Egypt. As Stephen in the book of Acts preaches about the life of Moses, he says Moses was a man that was grown and well favored and a mighty man in word and deed. And Moses was a guy that had led armies. Moses was a guy who was well educated by the world standard. But God had done a work in Moses' heart. As we read this passage of Scripture, Moses did a few things, took some action that would change the course of history, that would cause him to be used of God in a mighty way. Some things I think we can apply to our lives. Hebrews 11, beginning in verse number 23, the Bible says, "By faith Moses, when he was born, was hid 3 months of his parents, because they saw he was a proper child, and they were not afraid of the king's commandment. By faith Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. By faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. Through faith he kept the Passover and the sprinkling of blood, lest he that destroyed the firstborn should touch them. By faith they passed through the Red Sea as by dry land, which the Egyptians, essaying to do, were drowned." And in this passage, the story of Moses, we see some action words that are very important. Look at verse 24. The Bible says, "By faith, when he was come to years, refused." Moses refused. Verse 25, choosing. He refused, and then he chose. Verse 26, esteeming. He esteemed the reproach of Christ greater riches. Verse 27, "By faith he forsook Egypt." Verse 27 again, "He endured as seeing him who is invisible." Verse 28, "Through faith he kept the Passover. In verse 29, I'm sorry, that's the conclusion. Verse 29. By faith they passed. They passed. Now, these are all things that Moses, through faith in God, was able to accomplish, and things that we can pattern in our life. The first thing I want to bring to your attention tonight is this. Number one, faith refuses. Faith refuses. The Bible says in verse 24, by faith Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. Now, Moses had been put in a basket, rescued by Pharaoh's daughter, nursed by his own mother in a Hebrew home, but when he got a few years on him, we don't know exactly how long, 5, 6, 7, 8 years, we don't know for sure, but he had a few years on him, and his mother had weaned him, and he went to live in the palace of Pharaoh. Now, being a prince in Egypt, he grew up in the time when they were building pyramids. He grew up in the time when their astronomy was amazing. Their mathematics and architecture was amazing. Their understanding and their knowledge was amazing. But the Egyptians were pagan, wicked people. And Moses grew up in that. And there came a time the Egyptians had control over the Israelites. The Israelites had come with Joseph during the famine. And now they've grown to millions of people. As far as I know, millions of people. And God had raised up a man to deliver his people. It happened to be Moses. You wouldn't have thought that God would chose to train his redeemer, train his person to deliver the children of Israel in Egypt, but he did. But Moses, with a heart of love for God and a disdain for the world, in spite of all that he had, in spite of all that he had accomplished, the Bible says of Moses, when he was come to years, most people believe when he was 40 years old, he was old enough to know and make the right decision, to make a wise decision. This wasn't childish. When he was come to years, the Bible says, he refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. Folks, I want you to know what faith does. Faith refuses. Faith says, no, I'm not going to be part of this world. I'm not going to be tainted by this world. I'm not going to do that. You can forget it. It's not going to happen. Faith refuses. What did Moses do? Moses said, no, I'm not going to identify with Egypt. I am going to identify with God and God's people. I believe it's so important that we get to the place where we say, no, I'm not going to do that. No, I'm not going to be that. No, I'm not going to partake in that. We teach and talk to young people all the time about decisions that they make. Adults should do the same. There are things before you're ever tempted, you should say, I'm not doing that. I'm not going there. No, no, no. Our homes should say no to the wickedness of the world. Our hearts and lives should say no to the things of the devil and the wickedness of this world, because faith in Christ refuses. There are things that come up that we need to say no to. How many of you have ever met up with something that need just to be said no to? We ain't going to do it. It's just not going to happen. Faith refuses. There are things in our lives that we just need to say no and refuse. I refuse to be part of that. I refuse to partake in that. And Moses said, by faith, Moses refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. Now, there was a certain allure to what the world had to offer, but Moses understood that God was greater and better. And Moses was the kind of man who, through faith, refused this world. But it doesn't stop there. Look what the Bible says in verse 25. Choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. Faith doesn't only refuse and say no. It says no to sin, but it says yes to God. Faith chooses. What he chose? He chose rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. He chose something. He said no to sin and yes to God, which is something we should all do. Now, it was clear, and the choice was clear, that choosing to do the right thing wasn't choosing to do the easy thing. I hate to say it, but we are so bad about choosing the easy thing. How many of you ever noticed that? Choosing the easy thing. But Moses said, no, I'm going to choose to do the right thing. I want to give a testimony about being a teenager at Chilhowee Baptist Church. I remember so vividly being challenged to learn this verse. I got points for it, or I was able to go on a missions trip or something like that. That's irrelevant today. The truth is, God put His Word in my heart, and I was given an opportunity. I was challenged to memorize these verses. So many times as I've preached, I've quoted them. But more importantly than the times I've preached, so many times in my life when I've had an opportunity to make a decision for God and His glory, this passage of Scripture that has been committed to my memory has come up and shown me and reminded me again that I'm God's child. And faith refuses to identify with the world. Amen. And faith chooses to identify with Christ. Oh, I love this verse of Scripture. You see, faith refuses and faith chooses. I want you to understand something. Some people get the refuse part down. They say no to everything. No, 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 no. Mean-spirited. No, 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 no. I'll just let you know something. A Christian heart is not a heart that is wiped clean of everything and devoid of anything. It's a heart that says no to sin, says yes to God. You see, if you just wipe it clean, you've got a sterile situation. But if you will take the sin out and put the Lord in, then you have something that matters. Some people have the wrong idea about a Christian home. A Christian home is not defined by the things you take out of it. There are things that should be taken out of the Christian home. But I will say of equal importance, it's important that we not only take the wickedness out, but that we put the godliness in. And we choose. We choose. We choose very specifically to put God in our hearts. What did Moses do? He chose rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. He said, I'm just going to choose what's right and not what's easy. Verse 26, faith esteems. What's the Scripture say? Esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt. For he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. Esteeming. You've done some esteeming today. I did some esteeming today at the Mexican restaurant. Chicken or beef? Which one did I want the most? I'm trying to be good, so I chose chicken today, but I prefer beef. I esteemed. You know, I'm trying to, which one do I like the most? I like the beef the best. But I esteemed. You know, I just tried to pick which one was right. Now, the Bible says that Moses esteemed the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. Here's the process that Moses went through, and it's something that we should go through in our own hearts and minds. Moses said, okay, I am a prince in Egypt. I can have money. I can have glory. I can have praise. I can have pleasures for a season. I can have peace with God, joy in my heart. I can have satisfaction. I can have eternity, 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 eternity. Please God for eternity. What did Moses do? He said, you know, there is pleasure in sin for a season. There is riches in Egypt. He said, but I want you to know something. My life is short, eternity is long, and I'm not playing the short game. I'm playing the long game, and I'm going to live for Jesus. I'm going to live for God. What did he do? He esteemed. He said, the reproach of Christ is greater than the riches of Egypt. He said, I have respect under the recompense of the reward. He respected the real reward. I'll just tell you, folks, if you and I ever got a glimpse of eternity, if you and I ever got a glimpse of eternity, we'd put a whole lot less stock in today. We love to sing this song at funerals. If you could see me now, I'm walking streets of gold. If you could see me now, I'm standing tall and whole. If you could see me now, you'd know I'd seen his face. If you could see me now, you'd know my pain's erased. You wouldn't want me to ever leave this place. If you could see me now. And quite frankly, if you could see eternity right now, the efforts that you put into the things of this world that will one day burn forever, you would be like Moses, and you'd have respect and the recompense of the reward, and you would esteem the reproach of Christ greater than anything this world has to offer. You see, our lives, you go to the graveyard. You've heard this over and over again, but it's so important. Think about it. We're all going to a graveyard if Jesus doesn't come back. I talked to somebody yesterday. We got our headstone in. It was an exciting thing. It's good. On a headstone, there's a date of birth. On the headstone, there's a date of death. And right between those two is a little dash. It's short. You and I both know that it doesn't last very long. You and I both know that life is brief and short and fleeting. It's like a vapor. It appears for a little time and vanishes away. But here's the deal. You're born. You live. You die. If your dash is this long, it's about that long on a big headstone. Those cheaper ones you get at Walmart, they're about that big. Depending on what font size you pick, depends on how long your dash is. You get a dash about that long, it may be 60, 70, 80, 90 years, 100. That'd be great, wouldn't it? 100-year dash is not much longer than a 90-year dash. But here's the point. We all die and step out into eternity. And what we've done in the dash is represented for all of eternity with regret and loss or reward forever. A dash, you can just imagine the day you die, eternity begins. And on an equal proportion, the dash of your life turns into a line that has no end. It has no end. Do you know what Moses did? He said, life is short. Eternity is long. God is right. I think I'm going to live for Him. I think I'm going to live for Him. I'll have you know something. Old Pharaoh, for all of eternity. Now, here's something that just amazes me. And it's so true. Pharaoh was a man that lived and had a soul created in the image of God. And I don't like this, but it's true. But Pharaoh, for all these thousands of years now, he says, oh, would to God I'd accepted the blood of the Passover. Would to God I'd put my trust in God, Jehovah God. Would to God I'd trust in Moses God. Every day and every moment since the day he breathed his last breath on this earth. And at this very second, he is suffering hell forever. I'll just have you know something. Moses gave up a silver spoon and some pleasures in sin for a season. But for thousands of years, he's been rejoicing that he put his trust in God, that he put his trust in Christ, that he put his trust in the Lord, that he made the emphasis of his life something that mattered for longer than life. He said, I am esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt. He said, I'm just going to put my trust in God. Amen. That's what Moses did. Moses The faith of Moses refuses. The faith of Moses esteems. The faith of Moses forsakes. Look what the scripture says. By faith, he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. Now, when you look at verse 27 and you compare it to verse 24, in verse 24, Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. Now, Moses was a young man of 40. At 40 years old, he said, He didn't do everything right. As a matter of fact, he got ahead of God and ends up spending 40 years in the wilderness feeding Jethro's sheep. He didn't do everything right, but he did the right thing by refusing the world. 40 years have passed, and look at Moses. He's seen the burning bush. He's been commissioned by God to go tell Pharaoh, "Let my people go." And Moses is making his way into Egypt. There's a really good chance that the new Pharaoh was an old boy he called his brother. I'm pretty sure the old Pharaoh was dead. The Pharaoh that sat on the throne was Moses' brother, someone he'd raised up together with. And as Moses came into Egypt, commissioned by God to tell the Pharaoh, "Let my people go," guess what he had to do as an 80-year-old man? He had to re-up his commitment that he'd made 40 years ago. Now, here's something that I want to emphasize. You know, I made decisions for the Lord at church camp. I remember as a teenager refusing to do some of the things that my friends did because it was wrong. They broke my heart. They scorned me for making the right decision, but I'm so glad I did it. But you know what Cody Sturge was having to do at 37 years old? I'm still having to remind myself that I have to forsake Egypt. Moses could have maybe walked into Egypt and said, "Hey man, I'm back." And could have got right back into the world. But you know what he did? He walked right into the presence of Pharaoh, remembering that eternity was more important than temporary ease and pleasure. And he said, "Look, Pharaoh, let my people go." He did the right thing. He did it again. I'll just have you know something. In your Christian life, you're going to have to do the right thing again. And you have to do the right thing again and do the right thing again and do the right thing again. Somebody had this idea that getting saved is the end all. When you get saved, Jesus promised he'll never leave you nor forsake you. You have everlasting life. It is your present possession. It's wonderful. And you don't have to keep yourself saved. You can't. You're sealed and redeemed, blood bought. It's wonderful. But the day I got saved, I said yes in a great big way. But every day since, I've had to get up and say, "Yes, Lord." And the next day, "Yes, Lord." Our Christian life is a big yes followed by a series of little yeses. The Christian life is lived day by day. His mercies are new every morning. "Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord." And whether you're 10, 20, 50, or 100, you will have the opportunity, and it will become necessary that over and over again you turn your back on the world and turn your face toward heaven and forsake Egypt. That's what Moses did. Moses forsook, faith forsakes, and finally we'll quit here tonight. Verse 27. By faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. What did Moses do through faith? Endured. Now, a lot of folks and a lot of preachers want to tell you everything's going to be perfect. If you put 50 cents in the offering plate, you'll have a pretty good week. If you put $50 in the offering plate, you'll have a better week. But 500 is going to guarantee you a good week. That's a lie. That's a lie. Now, ask the Apostle Paul if faithfully serving Jesus leads to health, wealth, and prosperity. He died a martyr's death But I'll just have you know something. For the last couple thousand years, he's not regretted one thing he did for Jesus. Amen. Ask Peter. He was crucified upside down. A martyr for the cause of Christ. Ask Peter, if you do real good, everything's going to be sweet and happy. You're just going to love it. Oh, the water's good. No, it wasn't easy. But you know what the Apostle Paul did? He endured. He said that he would endure as a good soldier. You know what Peter did? He endured. You know what Moses did? He endured. Just think about this. Moses has turned his back on all the things of this world. Moses has gone to come from the backside of the desert. He forsook Egypt. Then he forsook the easy farm life. And now he's walking back into Egypt. He stood before Pharaoh, the man who could say, and look at him and say, off with your head. He stood before Pharaoh and said, hey, psst, let my people go. Guess what Pharaoh said? No. What'd he do? Cow down in a little corner, cry, make a Facebook post about how terrible everybody is to him and how bad the ministry is? No. You know what he did? He bucked up. Faced him again. What happened when he said no again? He bucked up and faced him again. Get this. The very people that Moses had given up everything to come and rescue, when Pharaoh sent an edict down, make the labor more intensive. Not only was Moses getting eat up by the Egyptians, he was getting chewed and eat on by the very people he came to save. It was rough for Moses. What'd he do? He endured. Folks, it's not easy serving the Lord, but it's wonderful. It's not easy living for Jesus, but it's right. And I'll just have you know something. You'll not regret in this life living for Jesus. It's a fact. But I will tell you something that's sweeter than that. You'll not regret for all of eternity living for Jesus. Moses, what a great example for us. What did Moses do? I love it. It helps me. By faith, Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt. For he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. By faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. Oh, he kept his eyes on the Lord, and you'll never regret a moment you live for Jesus. Oh, it's so sweet to serve our King. What a mighty God we serve.